EY.com.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Hope you're having a good start to the week. Washington, D.C. says adios to all the drama, or they think they do, over the debt ceiling. However, the Senate has to officially sign off on what the House has already done. So as you can imagine, there's been lots of reaction far and wide. It's pretty much a stalemate if you look at what the vote was. In fact, here, just to make it official, is House Speaker John Boehner.
The ayes are 269, the nays are 161. The bill is passed, and without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
What does that do to Speaker Boehner's career? That'd be interesting to watch that, since the Tea Party folks not happy with how things went down. Not the only ones on the liberal side of things. They don't like the idea that nothing was attached to taxes, so no revenues coming in as a result of that. It's all about cutting, but yet the cutting wouldn't have really isn't that deep. If you look at it, we're still very, very much in the hole, other than to say that the bill comes due and we pay the bill. And the debt ceiling has been lifted. Now there's this bipartisan commission that's been formed. They're supposed to come up with some grand scheme by December, really. Let's see if they do. If they don't, there's still cuts that would drop in. And that's really the upshot of it. Here's a couple of different congressmen. One, Sean Duffy, a Republican from Wisconsin, and also another Republican, Eric Cantor from Virginia, on the debt not being all that perfect.
It's about time this Congress come together and figure out a way to live within our means. This bill is going to start that process, though it doesn't go far enough.
Now, I said the bill is not perfect, and it's not. But changing the way that Washington spends taxpayer dollars is often a lot like redirecting or turning an aircraft carrier. It's a monumental task.
All right, a monumental task, to be certain. You heard what I had to say about the fact that they're going to form this commission, and then ultimately it just gets punted into 2013 is actually what happens. The cuts certainly are, it's not that they're nothing, but nowhere near deep enough to make up for all that we end up owing, the $14 trillion. So now you add some more on top of that, and what are we up to, folks? If you were thinking in the neighborhood of $17 trillion, give yourself a pat on the back. Obviously, you know how to count. It'd be something like that. So the debt bill goes to the Senate Tuesday, vote expected, and they should go along with this. Otherwise, the president wouldn't announce that he had a deal in place. And, you know, could they still raise taxes? In a sense, yes, they could, but most likely the way this deal winds down, probably not in the first option. They wouldn't do that, but you know, things are apt to be manipulated because now details are starting to become a lot clearer as to what they can do. The Joint Committee can take up tax reform if they want to, but the dispute is over how that deal is structured. And are the committee members wanting to do that? And I'm going to say probably no. If Congress passes it, it would take effect in January of 2013. That's when the Bush tax cuts expire. Oh. Has anyone been replaced? All those are questions. It's politics, politics, and more politics when it comes to that. So it's a waiting game, essentially. Coming up this hour of America Tonight, David Morey is a Democratic strategist. He'll delve a little bit deeper into this and what it means for you and me and what's actually happening across America with the no jobs and who loses and who wins. Pretty much really a loss across the board, I think, when you look at it. Here's what Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House, now the minority leader, had to say about what went down.
It's hard to believe that we are putting our best foot forward with the legislation that comes before us today.
All right. Are they putting their best foot forward? There you go. A couple of quick other asides here at the top. One, there was a happy moment in the House as Gabrielle Giffords, Congresswoman Giffords, made a surprise return and actually voted on the measure. Because remember, she's been gone for 6 months dealing with her near assassination at the hands of Jared Lee Loeffner. So she survived it, and now she's back at work trying to do some things, get up to speed, that kind of deal. And everybody was on their feet the second they saw Giffords. So that was your lighter moment for a few minutes anyway. And a very good thing, I think, to... follow-ups, and I want to knock them out at the top since I got probably 10 emails from several of you on this as to what happened to the guy who was attacked, the Giants fan. And prosecutors are saying, this happened way back in March, remember, that beating that left the fan severely injured, that one of the suspects harassed other Giants fans at Dodger Stadium and beat the guy even after he lost consciousness. So he kept going after him, and that was part of the problem. Part of the problem to the health of this guy. Unfortunately, Louis Sanchez, the documents were released, and the 29-year-old Sanchez and his tag team partner were arrested last month for attacking Brian Stowe outside of Dodger Stadium. So both of them are still held on $500,000 bail, because remember, people really wanted heads to roll. And it was what's happened now is that they're saying that people familiar with this case are saying that there are a couple of things that led to this attack. And what were they, and was it that they were ignited by, as I said, this other Giants fan? At this point, and this is what most of you care about, you just say, you know, get the guys who did it. Most of you care about what's happened to Stowe, and this was a guy who had a couple of kids. He's still in a coma in the San Francisco hospital, so figure March to now, that certainly can't be good. And as I said, he had a couple of kids, 42 years old. He was a paramedic, and they can't tie it to anything that provoked him. Now trying to say that this other fan did that had nothing to do with him. So I think it's more gobbledygook than anything else. And if the L.A. courts have any sense of justice, especially this, you know, district attorney, they'll just go after these two as hard as they can, convict them, and let them do jail time. They're saying, you know, maybe a possible 9-10 years for both of them, as they had other things that they were, you know, on their rap sheet too. So, and they practically killed the guy, and who knows what happens. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Congratulations to our friends at eFoodsDirect.com. In August, they celebrate 30 years in the long-term storable food business. To celebrate, eFoodsDirect.com is offering the lowest price ever on their one-year Freedom Food Supply, even less than the price in 1981. For a limited time, you get 30% off a one-year Freedom Supply, which provides three hearty meals per day for one adult. The Freedom Supply includes a large variety of fruits and vegetables, dairy, legumes, grains, sprouting seeds, and more. Plus, you get a generous supply of their quick fix meals. This is the most complete, extensive, and affordable unit they have ever offered. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get 30% off a one-year food supply. If you have ever considered getting a supply, now is the time. Call 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with song. Let me sing forevermore.
As we continue down the potholed road of the debt ceiling and what's going to happen now that we're not going to default, or at least we don't think we're going to default anyway, because of the House vote 269-161, you heard Victoria, I think, said that exact number. That was what the vote was. And they were counting, as she said, frantically the votes at the end. This is a very strange way to see the vote go down. Tuesday now, the Senate comes, and that's the day, of course. Tuesday was D-Day, that the $14.3 trillion debt ceiling had to be raised, right? And that's what all this debate has been about. The debt ceiling increase of between $2.1 trillion and $2.4 trillion, that's the number. What it does is it raises the debt ceiling right away by $400 billion, then by another $500 billion. It's so crazy. It's like Monopoly money, isn't it? $500 billion after September. After those cuts happen at the end of the year, it's increased another $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion. So the increases theoretically would cover the Treasury's borrowing until 2013. And why would they agree to that? Why would a bipartisan group, or not even a bipartisan group, why would, in general, why would they agree to that? Well, because think about the election year. That's what it is. And immediately it would cap domestic and defense spending. And what you would get there is $917 billion. Seems like a drop in the bucket, doesn't it? Over 10 years. Now, what will be interesting, I think, is the committee, because you're going to have this bipartisan joint committee of Congress, right? They have until Thanksgiving I guarantee we're going to be talking about this. They have until Thanksgiving to come up with proposals, and then those proposals would be just a simple up or down vote without amendment, and that would happen December 23rd. Oh, it'll be interesting in a few months to come, won't it? So if the committee, which probably this is what happens, proposes and the Congress approves the cuts, the debt ceiling would be increased pretty much dollar for dollar. So if they deadlock or something comes up that's less than $1.2 trillion in cuts, or even if Congress votes the committee's proposals, then the debt ceiling would be raised by $1.1 trillion. That's all gobbledygook. Bottom line is you've got this committee. I told you the dates, Thanksgiving, December 23rd, then they get the up and down vote. So really, this is just, in some sense, it's been pushed aside. Because if you get the Democrats and the Republicans on this committee, I mean, really, do you think the Democrats are going to agree, oh, forget it, we're not going to raise any revenues? I don't think so. And the same would be said with the Republicans. They want cuts. They're not going to move off of the idea of having cuts. So when they get together, what is it that they're going to come up with? They're going to talk about tax reform, tax hikes. That's what it's going to be. So do you think that's going to be some great agreement? No, because if they deadlock, like I said, or they don't come up with at least $1.2 trillion in debt reduction, then all of it's going to fall back on the federal budget. That's what's going to happen. So you would have across-the-board cuts that would be divided between defense and non-defense spending, pretty much. That's what will happen. That's what I think will happen. So the across-the-board cuts, I guess, could be avoided if both of the chambers of Congress passed a balanced budget amendment. Remember, that was dangled out there to the Constitution, sent it to the states for their ratification before the end of the year. But I doubt, there's more of a chance that I will walk naked to New Jersey than that will happen. That's how certain I am that it probably will not happen, won't happen. Some other things, and you'll hear this also at the tail end of the show, because we're going to talk with David Moore and break it down a little bit more. It's who are the winners and who are the losers, and you know, what does it mean for you and me ultimately? Because that's what we count. That's what we care about. I say it each and every single time I'm on the show. What's happening in our backyards? Because that's what we're looking at, and you'll be shocked to learn some of the things that David's going to talk about, including just how bad it is out there, and there's no job movement whatsoever, and there still is the huge push to move the jobs overseas. Mm-hmm. To be sure, not everybody in the House, by the way, was happy about the vote. Some of the reaction included a crazy quote from the House Minority Leader, you know who that is, Nancy Pelosi. She said the deal is, and this is a quote, probably a Satan sandwich with Satan fries on the sides. She did vote yes, but she didn't urge anyone else to vote yes. That was pretty much her way to throw down the gauntlet and say, I don't like this, I'm screwed, I'm voting for it. John Boehner, the Speaker, said that the debt deal is all spending cuts. He wanted to make sure Republicans knew that. He said it's not the greatest deal in the world, but it doesn't violate our principles. I think there's some people that are going to disagree with John Boehner, and that's why they were frantically counting the numbers. That's why that was happening, because he didn't think that he completely had enough. It ended up that there were enough votes, but it was not easy. It wasn't a shoo-in. Although that's probably, he probably wasn't expecting that with everything that happened last week. So the vote late in the day and sending this bill to the Senate, which they'll act on, should avoid the U.S. default. Now, how it was played out by some others, like Majority Leader Eric Cantor, he said it's a big win for the Republicans. The big win was the deal has no taxes, which it's true. It has no tax increases. Because that was one of the tugs of war that was going on between the Democrats and the Republicans. And I said it's a push, and I think it is a push at this point. And I'm sure many of the politicians kind of feel that way. For them, a little bit more hanging out there, since a lot of Tea Party folks who elected certain people are not happy with how this went down. Of course, some of the people who were elected with the help, with the push of the Tea Party, didn't vote for it. They didn't vote for it. There was something that I would agree with 100%. The congressman who is the chair of the House Republican Conference, Jeb Hensarling from Texas, said that, you know, the bill is just a modest step toward reducing the deficit and that the numbers are minimal, but the directional change is at least huge. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, we're not paying off American debt. We're not paying off our debt. It's on our back still, certainly. So that's the deal. And we've got China hanging around, folks. China's economy, when we look at world powers, is supposed to get stronger than ours. It's already getting stronger, but it's supposed to overtake ours with GDP and all that. 2016. You know why? They got nada, zero debt. Zero debt. As somebody was telling me, in not a joking way, there could become a time when the Chinese monetary system, their form of the dollar, becomes much more attractive. Will the dollar collapse? I don't know. I think that we cannot be naive about all of this. And the debt just keeps on going. Duplication, government waste, they don't even talk about it in the bill. Nothing. Military spending, we've talked about that before. Cutting down the military, at least the cost for all the wars, all the money that we've spent, all the places where we really don't need to be involved. There's a lot of things that are not good about any of this. Not for the American people. Hang with us. David Morey coming up around the bend.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safe-All natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special. Or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
A huge couple of days in Washington, D.C. Now we got to figure out what does it all mean in our own backyards for all of you listening to America Tonight. Who better to have on the show to do that and help us parcel it out, so to speak, than David Morey, who is a Democratic strategist. He's got a book out that, you know, we've talked about before called The Underdog Advantage. And he's done a slew of other things. Every time we have him on, I'm just, when I go back and I look at his resume, I'm just bowled over by the people that he's worked with. We've said it before, but he's worked with, like, Russian President Boris Yeltsin in the past, also Mexican President Vicente Fox. So the guy knows about the art, I think, of negotiating. And, boy, that's what it was all about, really, in Washington. And there are a lot of different point of views on how this all went down and what does it all mean. The debt limit will be raised through 2012. That we know. So who came out on top in this one? The Democrats, the Republicans, the president, the American people? Wow. David, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Kate, good to be with you.
So you heard me say that right there. Who do you think, your gut initial reaction, who came out the best on this? Who made out the best?
Well, I think everyone lost. I mean, I think, you know, the Speaker lost, the Republicans lost, the President lost, the Democrats lost. I think President Obama lost a little less than the other parties because he staked out that sort of center territory, which is going to be important. I mean, that is, by the way, where all the solutions are. I mean, it's not in the extremes of either party. So I think he, you know, he set himself up, you know, in that center where ultimately the election will be won in 2012. But I think he's damaged, as has the institutions of the Congress, their reputations. I think it's been a tough time for everyone.
And so now that we have this, it's like you said, these damaged reputations, to people looking from the outside, looking at what's going on in Washington, it seems like nothing but bickering. And I heard the speaker, of the House, Boehner, today saying, well, you know, we're friends at the end of the day. People don't see that. They only see what they hear in these snippets and when the cameras are rolling and when they get sound bites through radio and when they read the papers or whatever. But they don't really know that we're still friends. I don't think people in America believe that at all.
Yeah, I don't think they're real close, share your trusted secrets friends. No, I think, you know, our political system is not in any way as functional as our great nation. And at some point, you know, there's going to be such a pressured movement to reform Congress and to reform political fundraising. You know, I think that's one reverberation. You don't have this kind of dysfunction. You were just saying pre-air how many calls you're getting. You don't have this stirred up an electorate without something happening. Don't forget the last three elections in the United States of America were change elections. In 2006, 8, and 10, we totally changed our, you know, our structure of political governance. And I think, you know, that could happen in 2012. There could be, you know, there could be a significant cry, for example, for a more independent third-party candidate. Maybe that's 2016. You've got a really riled-up center, and you've got a riled-up electorate for good reason. They deserve better than this kind of government.
Yeah. Were you surprised how this all wrapped up or no?
No, I think it's predictable, you know, and I think you can second guess the chess games on all sides. You know, the truth is that, you know, what I'm most worried about is this is only the beginning and not the end of the process. You know, this super committee of Congress, six and six, Speaker Boehner has already promised he won't put anyone on who's going to raise any, even a dollar of taxes. Excuse me, Kate. So, you know, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have a complete loggerheads between the Democrats. Can you imagine the Democrats agreeing to do, you know, another $1.5 trillion in cuts without any revenue raises? So you're going to have loggerheads there, which means by the lame duck election period, right after the presidential in 2012, you're going to have all these key issues coming on the table. You're going to have these hearings televised. They're all going to be transparent. So, you know, you think people are worked up now. Watch them watch all of this political bickering just at the time when we need to focus on growing the economy, regaining jobs, and being a much more strategic governance of our great people. I mean, I worry about, you know, Thomas Friedman's new book is How to Recover American Greatness, because we're not investing in that commodity right now. We're bickering at the sort of PTA political level.
Yeah. What do you think, you know, these people that are listening to us in Connecticut and people that are listening to us in Ottumwa, Iowa, all over the country, because ATN is all over the place, you know, not just heavily in the Northeast or the South or wherever. We're happy to say that we're all over the map here. So, David, people listening are thinking and they're digesting this and they're listening to what you're saying. And I always talk about the idea of this third party. I like how you said that, hey, maybe it's 2016, but now there may be a movement afoot with that. What can people do? They ask me this all the time. What can they do to let their voices be heard? I always say you just have to put pressure or call your congressperson or senator.
Well, I mean, I think the center has to get more active. You know, the good news is we avoided, you know, a calamity in terms of debt, and that's good, and we bought some time. The bad news is we're not even focused on the key strategic issues. So this center of the country, you know, 36%, identify as moderates. So these are the people that are win or lose elections, and particularly presidential elections. They got to get going. They got to get as energized as the extremes on the left and right, you know, as MSNBC and as Fox News. You know, they've got to get revved up, you know, and really get their voice out there, because governance in the end, you know, if you're turning around a company, you start to make very intellectual, sane choices. You don't get all riled up and make, you know, choices with a gun at your head. You get step back, you get very strategic, you do less with more, you cut, but you also grow. You know, you start investing in things like education and entrepreneurship and infrastructure, things that will actually pay off in terms of jobs. I think the center's got to get more politically mobile, active, you know, animated. They've got to get into this mix, because it's those members of the electorate that can put sort of pressure on the system to come in and get some things that are a little bit more elegant compromises than we saw over the last day or two.
Yeah. You mentioned this when we were talking about election year. So for the president, for Barack Obama, because as you said, he was playing in the center here, certainly at the end, then for him, he, when it comes to 2012 and you look at the challengers and still we're far away from that, I guess, does this buy him some more votes? Does he get more votes out of this?
I think he, he has some problems on the left. But the truth is that no one is there to challenge him on the left. You know, people are talking about, you know, Jimmy Carter. Remember, Jimmy Carter had Ted Kennedy challenging him.
Yeah.
And he also had to run against this guy called Ronald Reagan. Well, if Mitt Romney's the nominee, he's no Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
So I think we have a very different situation. I think the president did stake out some centrist moderate territory, which will be very valuable going into the election. But I think he's got to lead more boldly. I mean, I think, you know, my metaphor, he's acting like an incumbent, not an insurgent. You know, he's going to have to, I think he needed to lead more early and more aggressively in this debate, in this debt issue. I think he's going to have to lead more boldly and more early in terms of investing in strategies. You know, we work with Pepsi, and the chairman is a woman. That's her title, chairman. She likes the word. She said something very interesting 6 weeks ago. She said, America needs to step back and build a strategy. Get the smartest CEOs, the smartest political strategic thinkers in a room, and build a bipartisan strategy for what the kind of choices are in the future in terms of education, entrepreneurship, research. I mean, we don't even have a strategy to go in space now.
Yeah.
We invented that whole thing. I mean, it's so I think, you know, we're not at, let alone strategic level, we're at this sort of PTA political level, which is not going to get us anywhere. And we're not going to get anywhere by simply cutting. That just doesn't work. Ask Janet Granholz, the governor of Michigan, who did it more by comparison of GDP figures than any other governor in history. And you know, Michigan's had, you know, horrible employment figures, horrible growth figures. You can't really cut your way to prosperity. You can't. It's like selling your body parts away to science, you know, to make money. I mean, it doesn't really make sense at some point. So I think we've got to make some very hard choices about the way we manage these cuts, and we've got to invest in some jobs and some growth.
Yeah, that's music to a lot of people's ears when we talk about investing in jobs, because we can see that there's people that are certainly underemployed, and then there's people that just cannot find work, and they absolutely have resumes. There's a myth, I think, that's out there that, well, there's other jobs out there. Can you just take a little bit of a pay cut? And, boy, I can tell you that that is not the case, David. I think there are a lot of people, good people, that have put themselves through several degrees that just cannot find employment. And also part of that is some of what we're seeing on the job landscape with the corporations and what they say they're struggling with, and then, of course, the outsourcing of jobs. I think this is a – when you talk about strategy, I think that's something that has to be looked at too, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question about it. Look, we're not growing. We saw that, you know, in the middle of all this insanity, the figures came out, and we're not growing. You know, we're not growing this economy, and we're not going to grow it by cutting it. We're going to reduce the level of growth. So, you know, it's like the patient came into the emergency room, and, you know, they have – swelling of the brain and they're having a heart attack. You can't really just treat one. You got to treat both. You can't just get the deficit and debt in line. You've got to do that. Simpson Bowles is generally right about how to do it. Letting the Bush tax cuts expire is right. You know, if we did those two things, we'd have the strongest balance sheet in the history of government. But we don't seem to have the political will to get those things done. Let's hope we do. But in addition to that, we've got to invest and open up, you know, new growth areas so these jobs can be found by people. Let me give you a quick stat. 75% of Americans have less than 2 months cash savings in their bank account. I mean, isn't that amazing? 41% can borrow less than $3,000 on their credit card. 23% have tried to apply for a loan and been rejected. People are hurting out there. You know, we're going to have to grow this economy while we get the debt in line. We're going to have to do both at the same time. And it's not easy. We're making these cuts at almost like a very difficult time. The only good news is the cuts aren't going to hit until late 2012, even into 2013. So we have a little running room here. But it's going to be tough. There's no question.
Yeah, scary numbers. Thanks for those stats. David Morey, and thank you for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, good luck. Great to talk.
Great to talk to you, too.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi, and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps, summer sale priced at only $12. Colon and Answer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PriceKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PriceKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PriceKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PriceKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Yes, you hear the sound of people frying furiously. The temperatures in Dallas, Texas, ridiculous. Lawns are brown everywhere. We are just dying for some rain in Texas. And I know there are other parts of the country that feel the same way. I know I said this a couple of weeks ago, but boy, is it the truth. You can tell it's really, really hot out there. When you travel somewhere and you look at the back of the USA Today weather map and everything looks like scorched earth because it's so red and you start to see those alerts, stay in the house. I can't even believe the temperatures that I've seen, 108, 110 at the end of the week. Now that is some hot weather. And yes, we know each and every year in the summertime, it gets hot. It can feel claustrophobic in New York City. You just sweat. And there are other cities much worse, too, when you talk about the humidity. But 31 days in a row with temperatures of 100 degrees or higher? Are you kidding me? That's hot. So, this may be the biggest stretch in the country. What have you been feeling in your neck of the woods? I'm curious what it's like in other places. Of course, I'm reading about it, but I'm curious if you're getting temperatures where you feel like it's 110, 115. We know in Minneapolis, that they had that a couple of weeks ago. But then lately there have been some dust-ups with little storms here and there that have cooled things off in some places. Over the weekend there was a tropical storm, Don, that the hopes were it would bring just some rain with it. But that didn't happen. Instead, there really wasn't that. There was a couple of thunderstorms, maybe, but nothing that was like rain. So it just continues to cook. And how long does this go on? How long does this continue to happen? I'm sure some of you have stories very similar. If you do, please share them with me. Send them to me at americatonight.net through the website. You click on the email, boom, and you're in, or 800-259-5791 if you want to share. By the way, the extreme for the day on Monday, Chandler, Oklahoma, 111 degrees. How about that? Meanwhile, the low, 34 degrees, and I think it's pronounced Bodie State Park in California. Oh, that'd be nice. 34, actually, to me, sounds pretty good right now. Since I'm much more a cold weather person than a hot weather person anyway. I don't know about the rest of you. All right, speaking of hot, it is hot on the Hill. It's what we started the show with. Everything you would think is a wrap. Of course, maybe there would be a curveball by the Senate, but I doubt it. The House okayed the debt plan. I mean, really, it's been agreed upon. Now it just becomes a formality with the Senate. It's going to be a similar thing with them. I can't imagine. And what's interesting is if you had a stake in this, if you were somebody that was there with a chance to vote and you see what's been happening, which way would you have gone? Would you have laid your vote down, or would you have drawn that line in the sand? Not enough people decided to do that. So the drama that's been playing out in Washington, I mean, really, it just continues. What's happened now is what I consider to be absolutely a push. This is a push. Because nothing has happened. I mean, what it's done is we're kicking the can, as I am often fond of saying here in America Tonight. We're not kicking it to a next segment. We're kicking it down the road. What's changing with spending? They cut $90 billion a year, $90 billion a year from a deficit of over $1 trillion a year for the next 10. So how much are they going to spend? How much are they taking in? The answer is they're not going to match. So we're no closer to being in the black, I believe, than we were last week. And look out. Look out what happens with China. Because we are borrowing from China. And remember, we're paying on the interest. We're paying on the interest. I think there's some confusion there. It's like when you get your mortgage, the interest and the principal. Oh, we're so far down the lane on the other. So, not a lot of cuts. They don't come till 2013. You got the election in between that. And I keep harping on the same thing, but because I have friends who work for the government and they say, look where it's obvious, the duplication. They haven't done an audit. They haven't gotten rid of the duplication. And so what lies ahead? What lies ahead is, honestly, not to be doom and gloom, but on the surface, it certainly looks like more debt. More debt. And where is the growth going to come from? If you paid attention to David Morey and you listen to what he weaved in and out with me, as he said, he expects that a third party erupts from this. That if it's not the next time around, then it'll be the time after that, if it's 2016. Because people are so frustrated by what's happened now. And they're alive and they're loud, meaning all of you, getting involved in the process. Tired of pushing the ball in the same direction. And really, honestly, if you look at what happened, that's what we've gotten here. Because the numbers still in this bill, I mean, still they don't really add up. Like I said, we started with the vote count. It's passed by the House. It's punted to the Senate. It should get the green light because, of course, it's really been agreed upon. And it's on the day that the ceiling had to be raised so that the Treasury can pay the bills on time and keeps us out of default, and there's no doubt about that. And what does it do as far as reducing the deficits? You got to really look at that number. The number sounds big when you say $2.1 trillion, but it's the number attached to it that's so scary. Over a decade. Over a decade. Wow. $2.1 trillion in spending cuts. $917 billion over 10 years. Where, as David said, where is the job growth? Where does that come in? And so now the cuts, forget this round of cuts, and what happens after that? What happens to Social Security, Medicaid, the veterans stuff, the pensions and the benefits, and supplemental income, all of that? What happens? I guess Medicare is not going to be exempt, but they can't cut more than 2% of the program. And that wouldn't affect any of you that are seniors. It wouldn't affect any of you if you're listening to this show, by the way. And the balanced budget amendment, so what does that mean? In theory, you have to hold your feet to the fire to pass the budgets, but you think that both chambers of Congress are going to agree to this, to have a balanced budget amendment put to the Constitution and send it to the states for ratification? I don't think so, as I said earlier. Very doubtful that that's going to happen. So it's here, it's gone, and most likely rubber stamped, we know it will be, by the Senate. And we'll keep you apprised of any particular changes that come out of these committee meetings, because they have their own deadlines of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Can you imagine? One final thought, because I know a lot of you guys out there are driving some of those Ford trucks. Wow, I was surprised when I saw this. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but Ford had a recall. They weren't happy about this. 1 million trucks, what they say is they've got faulty gas tanks. So if you've got a Ford, you might want to check that out. 1.1 million full-size pickups, because of the straps securing the gas tank, they could rust, comes loose, drags on the ground. Wouldn't be a good thing, right?